Hey, what it do with the business is?
It's another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, the retired vegetarian, a.k.a. Jacoby Brisket, a.k.a. Boneless Thugs in Harmony.
Boneless Thugs in Harmony.
Shout out to my guy Yoski, man, for that Jacoby Brisket.
Jacoby Brisket is where you should have stopped. The Boneless Thugs in Harmony ain't nothing. 100% we back, man, in full effect. Another quarantined week in the books. I am Spike Lou on your favorite social sites,
including TikTok.
I don't even know what that is. That wave has passed me. You on TikTok?
Absolutely not. I don't dance.
What have you been watching? Any sports reruns? I'm watching the 2004 American League Championship right now.
The sports drop. Remy, you ran out of TV to watch and movies.
Nah, you want to see sports. Movie. Sports, though. I want to see sports. Oh. The Jordan doc kind of like gets you. I'm sure you've been watching the Jordan doc as everyone else has. Kind of gets you wanting to see some live basketball or something. It would be playoff time right now. Should it be getting good finally?
I stopped the Jordan doc after the Piston episode. There wasn't nothing else to look at.
After he pissed on your Pistons? I'd be hot about that, too. I would be hot about that, too. I was listening to an interview with Patrick Ewing today, and this guy called Patrick. Dan Patrick called Patrick Ewing on his show, and he said when he reached out for the request, Patrick Ewing texted him. He was like, give me a call, and he called Dan Patrick. He's like, hey, man, you know I don't like talking about this shit, right? This nigga whooped my ass for 15 years, man. I don't want to talk about it no more, but you, my friend, I'll come on your show, but I really don't like doing this shit. That's some interesting perspective.
Man, you gotta get off, man, if you don't relax.
Reggie Miller said that too. He's like, man, I don't like doing interviews. They said it's hard for them to watch this and reliving those memories of getting their ass kicked. Reggie Miller said he won't watch. He watched the first two episodes and he ain't watching anymore.
Man, take that L like a man, man. You be all right. 20-year-old ass.
Let me tell you who ain't watching. Isaiah Thomas. He don't even know
real
nothing about this.
We ain't watching this shit.
Protesting. What? Protesting.
Man, let's get to the rap shit, man. My boy dropped this week, man. Let's quit the bullshit. Trying to stall the Drake talk, nigga. No, we don't care about Mike.
Wow, how did you even know that? Interesting.
Man, this week, Westside Gunn names himself the rap LeBron James, speaking of basketball. Also, Puff gets political, and we review the Six Gods new mixtape.
I'm sorry, who?
Let's go. But first, Eminem, man, the 8 Mile MC, found himself face-to-face with a real-life Stan as an intruder broke into his crib earlier last month. The suspect entered the rear of his home while security was in the front, sleep. If you're Eminem, do you chalk this up as an honest mistake by security, or is everybody fired on the spot?
Everybody being fired on the spot sounds like the right way to go. But when you're a megastar, like Eminem, you had to take certain precautions. So at the very least for me, a consultant will need to be brought in. They got a new boss at the very least. Mm. Because, you know, these people probably familiar with Eminems and it's stuff that you don't want to have to teach a whole new team of people. Right. So you bring in one or two guys, increase them and, you know, increase their roles and let them show the guys that were there what they need to do, because I'm sure he don't want to lose those familiar faces that are around him for a mistake like this. It's a big mistake, though. This guy, they broke into Eminem's house. His name is Matthew David Hughes. Mm. This is the second time that he's broke into Eminem's house at two separate locations. Now, part of the reason why I wouldn't fire security is because they should be familiar with this. And I'm assuming that this guy's not a threat. When he broke in, he was found by the people that lived in one of Eminem's estates. He said he was looking for his brother, Marshall. And this time when he broke in, the alarm went off and Eminem found him, and, you know, the security wrapped him up. But I don't think that he's trying to hurt him. And he seemed like a real life, like crazy Stan. So a lot. I mean, it's scary to someone breaking your house, but I don't think it's really to make a big deal over. So I wouldn't fire my whole security team. What about you?
No, it depends. If my security team been with me for a stretch, then I'm not going to fire them. If this was the new security team, they out of there. Out of gone.
If they were still under their 90 days.
Yeah, if they still in their probation period, donezo. I'm more impressed by dude. Like, he gained access through the gated community. How did he do that, number one? I don't know how he snuck in through the community, period. Then to sneak into the crib past security, like, I'm impressed. Like, that's not easy to do, man. I don't know what
he used
purpose
a,
was.
He used a decorative rock out in the yard and broke the window and climbed up the whatever you had to climb up to get in the window. And he was in his one of the
That's
bedrooms.
nuts.
That's wild.
And to be
Shit you gotta live
fair,
with.
it was 4 a.m. in the morning. So I don't know if security is supposed to be like, security is supposed to be awake at 4 a.m. Are they, what are they doing? Are they doing shifts? How does that work?
Yeah, you got to give me 24-hour shifts or something, Manil.
That's
And
right. I want that
that's
much
one thing
money.
that I bet that's a whole lot of money. And it's
Man.
unfortunate that you got to have 24-hour security if you're Eminem. And people might think that that's overkill, but obviously not. You got a nigga breaking in your house at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
because he thinks he's your brother. Like, that shit, wow, that's a whole life. I don't know if I ever want to be that big
I
to where
saw
people are doing that
Eminem.
to meet me.
He talked about that, talked about being in quarantine, and he was like, man, at my level of fame or celebrity or whatever you want to call it, my life is already kind of quarantine like.
So,
So it's not really necessarily anything different, but still not being able to necessarily go somewhere even if you wanted to was kind of fucked up. But he said, dude, my life is already kind of like, I can't go nowhere, bro.
that's one of the things they said in the Jordan doc. Like, Jordan was so popular and famous, it was like, boom, from the moment that he stepped out of the elevator, it's on.
That's
Like, 15, 20 people around you, people dying to take pictures. Like, that's a headache I'm not sure that I'd ever be prepared for.
the trade-off.
Like, do you think that I've always thought that maybe the remedy to that would just to be go out and people would be so surprised that you just walk in without no like security and nothing around it, eventually they get used to it? Or do you think that like someone like Jay-Z would never be able to walk down the street?
Now, the only way they get used to it is if you're somebody like Dave Chappelle and you live in a small town. They'll get used to it. Like, he lives in like what, Iowa or Idaho or some shit,
I think he's from
or Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio, somewhere near Ohio.
Yeah, some Midwest town where they don't give a shit about celebrities anyway. So if you know, that's the only time you'll be able to do something like that. Now maybe Jay could go somewhere dolo and just blend in, maybe,
Yeah,
and
maybe
people,
if he's
because you
walking
wouldn't
through
expect,
Calabasas.
possibly, but you wouldn't expect him to be walking dolo. That's how you would notice a somebody, bro. If they walking with a fucking crew of people
Yeah, they got the
surrounding
big
them,
boy
or a big
trucks
six,
pulling up.
eight, 300-pound person walking, you're like, damn, who the fuck is they with? Oh shit, that's Jay-Z behind him. Damn, that's wild. But if Jay-Z was just walking, you might could miss him though.
If it depends on if you had a hat on. If his hair looked like it looks now, you're gonna definitely notice
That's
Jay.
true. I'm definitely noticing that shit.
They said
That's a fact.
Beyonce would like go to Target after it closed. Like, she still wanted to go to Target and shop and shit, so she had an arrangement with Target. Like, she would come in after hours and shop.
If Beyonce had a dad hat
That's
on with
wild.
sunglasses, she might have slipped past you.
Definitely in Atlanta
That's
and
oh my,
Houston.
especially in Atlanta.
Atlanta and Houston, 100%, you're right. Like, if she didn't have a whole entourage, would have had the hat down low with the shades on.
Tough.
You just think it's another pretty girl in Atlanta.
That's it. Shout out to the A.
That's a fact, man. Next, man, we got my guy, who I called the MVP, like I think it was a year ago of last year, West Side Gunn. Well, excuse me, I called him my runner-up for my person of the year, West Side Gunn. He came out and said that he is the LeBron James of hip hop because he makes other people around him better. Do you think this is true or is this a reach? And if
Man,
it's
he
a
made
reach, who's your LBJ?
yeah, no, he made a good comparison, because he said that, because he cited that the songs that he does that have features, that those artists always do well on his records, and that he kind of came to that conclusion of him being like a player coach and doing a little bit of coaching when he works with artists on features like Gibbs and Wale and Tyler the Creator, just to name a couple on his last project. So that's a fair point. On the flip side of that, I could argue that those guys sound better with songs with him because he's not that good of a rapper. I could also say that. But shout out to West Side Gunn. I get it. When I first heard him say he was the LeBron James of rap, I almost just wanted to cut off anything after that and tune it out. But he's making sense. He's speaking strictly on features. But I don't think it's him. I think the person that brings the best out of other people on features is Kanye, personally. I think if you listen to what Chainz does on records with him, if you listen to what Gucci did on Champions, he brings out the best. And listen to what Big Sean does when he gets on records with him. I think he brings out the best of people. And I think he would be more the LeBron of rap, because he's also a producer at the same time. So there's a little bit of cheat code with that. So I would say him, but shout out to West Side Gunn. Features do him well, and his records with features do be banging. So Shout out to him.
That is a fact, and the context is very much needed, as you said, why he thinks that. And it's not far-fetched, but I would say he's more so a Draymond Green of rap. Because, like, the glue. He has the ability to make people better, but he's just not as dominant in what he does as LeBron James is. So I would call Westside Draymond Green. And I ain't saying that as a diss. It's just more set to his skill.
Draymond got rings. That's what I was
saying. Draymond got rings, and Draymond thinks he's better than Charles Barkley, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah, he true.
But this is ironic that you say this, and I'm sure you weren't expecting this from me when we are here quarantined doing this over FaceTime, that my answer would also be Kanye West.
It should be everybody's
Kanye
answer.
I'm not sure about that. But I do believe that Kanye West would be the LeBron James of hip-hop. He has a track record, even with like he makes the big dog show up. It's cool when you telling me that you got Wale in here and you brought something out of Wale, and you know how I feel about Freddie Gibbs. You think he's a better rapper than I do, even though I don't think he's bad, but he ain't Jay-Z. It's different when you a nigga like Kanye West, and I got Pusha T in here putting his best album of his life out. I got Jay-Z doing Watch the Throne with me. I got Teyana Taylor like putting out bangers. Now I'm LeBron James. and you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's no denying it. And even when the sense he did made the decision, was the villain for a while. I think Kanye's gone through his villain stages. I think that, like, he sometimes he lets you down. Like, sometimes, like, LeBron, game 6 against Boston when he disappeared. I think y'all 1 year disappeared. Sometimes Kanye will give you Jesus. Sometimes he'll give you bullshit and let you down like he did. So I would say I agree with you that it is Kanye West. He is the LeBron James of hip hop. And if I had to further those comparisons, I would say Drake is the Steph Curry for changing the game, evolving it, adding that 3-pointer, extending the court. And Drake doing what he does is adding the vocals, extending the range of what rappers are. And I would say this is the surprise that Kendrick Lamar is the James Harden. Dominant, rip, very skillful at what he does. Sometimes it's not for everybody as far as watching him play, but you can't deny the skill set of what he does. Those are mine.
The only thing is James Harden ain't got no rings and Kendrick got rings.
That is true. Kendrick got rings. That is true. You're right about that.
I see that because, see, that's the thing. Westside, he gets the assist and the dimes, but he not finna give you 35 or 40. If you need to go get a bucket, you can't give it to Westside Gunn. You just can't.
Right, right.
You can give it to Kanye. Kanye didn't give you a bucket still.
Kanye still didn't give you a bucket.
He'll fill up the stat sheet. That's fair. That's a fair comparison. Now, real quick, if we talking hooks, though, it's Chris Brown for sure.
LeBron James?
Yes. You'd have to purposely fuck up a Chris Brown record for his shit not to sound good on you. Like, for you not to have a banging song with Chris Brown, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Unless you're Young Thug.
I don't believe that.
Then it's very possible. To that
Young Thug. I ain't listened to that Young Thug and Chris Brown yet.
I listened to 2 songs. I got out of there dumb quick. I couldn't wait to get out of there.
I'm going to check that out, man, while I'm playing the Madden franchise.
Next up, man, we got Puff. Diddy is back on his vote or die wave, but not everyone is feeling it. He took to IG Live to proclaim, quote, attention to all, the black vote will not be free this year, end quote. He declared that he would hold the black vote hostage until Biden, yo boy, adopts a black agenda that will directly address issues plaguing the black community. Now, his longtime friend and collaborator Kenny Burns commented, calling Puff irresponsible, prompting Puff to delete the comment and block Burns. Are you down with Puff's 2020 political approach?
I do. I do think that Puff made great points when he says the black vote isn't free. I think Kenny Burns was approaching it from a standpoint of, hey, we don't like Donald Trump. It doesn't matter what we do. We just got to get Donald Trump out of there. Mm-hmm. And that may not be the way to think about it from people in a position like black people that we're in. There's stuff that we need for our community. And if Donald Trump were the one, I doubt it happens, and I want to context that, but if he were the one that hired people to put a plan together and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do, then I couldn't 100% say, well, I don't want to listen to you if you're saying, hey, I'm going to do this for your community just based off your track record. I listen. Sometimes you need your enemies to get to where you want to go. And I don't think that Kenny Burns is coming from a correct perspective when he challenges Puff and says, you shouldn't be saying that, because that's how Puff feels. I think it's responsible for Puff to say, hey, as a black person, you should want something for your vote. Not that you should hate Trump so much and you should go out there and vote against him regardless of what happens. I don't think that's responsible.
Yeah. Now, let's be clear. First off, Puff deleting the comment and then blocking Kenny Burns was super trash.
Like, oh, yeah, I want to be clear about that. That's trash. That's trash.
What are you doing? That was some small. Yeah. That's number one.
But we have to mention and reference, I sent you a video before we got started.
Yep.
And in that video, there was an old clip of Puff in Compound in Atlanta. Kenny Burns is from Atlanta. People that don't know who we're talking about, y'all look him up. But he's popping down here today.
For sure.
And there was a party down here, and in that party, they were serving Grey Goose. Puff Daddy, of course, did not like that, and he went on a rant about it and started throwing ice at somebody that was drinking Grey Goose. And Kenny Burns wanted to approach him, let him know that that was not cool. And him and Kenny Burns had a few words, so it seems to be a little lingering beef between those two anyways for him to act so abruptly in blocking him and deleting the post. I feel like if it had been someone else, then maybe Puff would have had more dialogue.
That's possible.
But that's that.
That incident, T.I. was involved as well. He was there in the club. He tried to mediate or whatnot. Puff never needs to go to the club ever again because he was on one. If y'all, please YouTube that video. It was fucking hilarious. He was doing way too much. And he was doing way too much right here as well. Look, I get his, I think he had good intentions with what he was saying. But, man, I'm almost certain it's a little too late, bro. We down to the last. It's the late fourth quarter, fam. It's two people left, man. Neither one of them are fucking with our agendas, bro. Like, it's if you haven't already gotten this on deck previously, probably a year or two ago and started, we knew it was going to come down to these two. There was not a doubt personally, in my mind, of who it was going to be up against, bro. Like,
there was a doubt for like a split second that they thought Bernie was going to get in there. But
man,
it didn't last long.
Nobody thought Bernie was going to fucking make it, bro. Like, stop, dude. Nobody thought Yang Gang was going to fucking make it. Nobody thought any of these other assholes was going to make it to the fucking primary or whatever the fuck we are. I don't watch CNN. But what I'm saying is Puff waited too damn late to do this. But I get it. He's trying to use his leverage, his celebrity. And I'm not mad at that, so to speak. And but, bro, like, yeah, I think Kenny Burns might have exaggerated a little bit. He might have been in his feelings. Irresponsible. Relax, bro.
Yeah, like I just don't. I don't mind Kenny Burns challenging the statement what Puff said. Like, this, it's fine. Number one thing in politics, you have to be able to have dialogue, whether you agree or disagree. I need to hear your point, because if you can sway me over to your point, then maybe we can make decisions to do shit better.
What's
now,
wrong?
With that being said, I don't disagree with the dialogue. That I just think it's Trump.
Would anybody but Trump?
Yeah, like that's not responsible. So if you're going to attack somebody for not being responsible, you have to approach them in a responsible manner.
Yeah.
And I don't think he did that. And if he put that energy out there as opposed to, hey, why do you feel that way or what makes you say that, making Puff engage with him, because I'm sure that he respects Kenny Burns. They have a relationship. He let him get to him in that clip. They must know at least of each other.
They have a real relationship. Yeah.
Exactly. So I would say he should have engaged them more as opposed to throwing that energy out there where it made it acceptable for Puff to block him. Like, calling me irresponsible, but I'm Puff, my nigga. I know you, but I don't know you like that, bro. Get off my page. I'm Puff, nigga. I'm what he call himself? D what love? Brother love?
Brother love.
Yeah, bro, get off my page. I'm brother love, man. Get away from me. I don't need you putting these long ass shits up under my post, man. I don't care. If I'm Puff, like you said, I get it. Like, well, you said he exaggerated, but I think I get it. Like, I don't need you pushing your agenda under my post, my nigga. I'm here to say how I feel. You got a problem, you call me.
You can't delete and block every comment.
Get that nigga out of here, man. Saying. Not everyone, just the one that called me responsible from someone who could have. And I ain't saying this is one of them take it off the internet things, but my nigga, if you're going to call me irresponsible and write a four-page letter under my post, then yeah, I may block you. Fuck you.
Puff was on that Ciroc when he saw that comment.
Puff been quarantined. That nigga beard gray. He ain't been able to get his hair dyed. He ain't been out, man. That nigga, he ain't trying to hit no shit from Kenny Burns.
Lock the vote, man. Page, vote or die, man. Guys.
Yeah, vote or die. Next up, man, before we get to our topic – Bandcamp. Bandcamp went in and done their thing. And what they did is they waived all of the profit that they would take out usually for COVID. That means artists got to take home 100% of the profit that was brought in. I think it was somewhere near 7.1 million in sales. And that went all back to the artists. Are you impressed by this move from
Bandcamp?
Yeah,
shout out to Bandcamp, man. It's an app where, you know, independent people upload their music, merch, things of that nature. This is a super dope play. Them waiving the fees is a nice gesture. Just to put in some context, a typical fee is about 15% for anything digital related and 10% for merch. So they made about $7.1 million was paid out to artists in a 24-hour period. I don't know how much of that it would have been on a typical day. That would have been nice to know, but that was a nice big figure that sounded cool. This reminded me of a couple of episodes ago when the COVID really started ramping up. And we talked about Lizzo and a couple of other artists asking Trump for bailouts and shit. Mm-hmm. We talked about different ways that you can support your favorite artists, and one of them was streaming music and buying merch. So yep. People have clearly been doing that, and Bandcamp did something that they didn't have to do. They waived the fees for a 24-hour period. They've done it twice now, and I think they're scheduled to do it two more times. So, I mean, it's cool, man. You know, they raping people on a regular basis, but they're giving them a pass on during some tough times because artists obviously can't tour, and it's not wise to put out music. So shout out to Bandcamp, man. I'll let it slide. What you think?
I think this is very dope. I think this is part of some of the relief packages like Lizzo was speaking of. Artists have to take advantage of things like this. Artists that were touring, that were maybe too big to throw little projects out and throw little different merch out. Like, this is the time to do different stuff and just maximize this, since you're not able to get in the club and reach your fans, maybe provide a different type of thing for them. So I think it's really dope that Bandcamp is encouraging artists to do this. And I think that even bigger, major, not even just independent artists, but artists that we know of can do side stuff here, or I wouldn't say like Drake or anything like that, but I mean, the people that we reference is getting show money and they're used to doing that. I know Lil Baby said if he ain't get $5 million, he was going back to hustling. But just stuff like this, this could be a very cool supplemental income. And I think that it's cool that a company like Bandcamp is making it possible for artists to do so.
What's funny about this is the whole premise that Tidal is built on, is that they are known for paying more than the minuscule pennies on the dollar that typical streaming sites pay to artists. And a lot of people looked at them like, oh, it's rich people problems and all that. And but this is cool. Shout out to Bandcamp, because there's a lot of people that are independent on Bandcamp. So I guess it's independent people problems. So people root for the underdog more, but it's all the same in the same vein.
Most of these people are already rich.
You said who?
Most of these people are not already rich, so I guess that's why people, or that people know of, that's why people rooting for them still.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It's a cool gesture, man. Good way to get some positive press for Bandcamp. So wise move, whoever is in their marketing department. Mm-hmm. True. Now, to the topic at hand. Let's fucking go. Drake. Aubrey.
Been waiting for this.
The Sixth God, Drizzy. Nah, Dark Lane demo tape, man. It dropped seemingly out of the blue. Not quite. It was a little bit of a heads up. Yeah. It's this label that's a mixtape, apparently.
A demo tape.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, a demo tape with a couple of joints that have been released earlier this year already.
It's not on Cash Money.
Where was your expectation level for this, even though we got like a 2-day heads up about it?
I didn't have one with a 2-day expectation. The last time Drake dropped something that wasn't really an album was at, what's the name of it?
What, you talking about More Life?
Yeah, the More Life playlist.
Yep.
And that was cool. If you're a Drake fan, I haven't doubled back to that.
You should.
So, maybe, but I ain't really, I know the song with 2 Chainz is banging.
That's banging.
But I ain't really doubled back to that, so I really wasn't expecting a lot from it. I thought it would be like a, just like old stuff, like that project that he put out not too long ago that he had released all like most of that B-side shit or shit that was
the care package. Just,
yeah, the care package. That I figured it'd be something like that, similar to a lot of songs that I'd heard before. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it wasn't really just like, oh God, I gotta wait on this Drake. I'm listening to it at midnight when it comes out, like I would do. Like I want to be like hating here. If it was a new album, I definitely would have waited and checked it out
For sure.
upon release at 12:01. I just wasn't expecting this to be all new music. So I mean, I was just going to plan on listening to it. What
yeah,
about you?
I'm with you on that. My expectations were tempered as well. I didn't know.
$10 word of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a little confused about what it was. You know, last time he tried to pull the mixtape thing was the If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, which I'm still a little confused, but I think it was supposed to be a Gangsta Grillz. I still don't know what that means.
Really?
Yeah, that's how they got the reference tracks was allegedly from DJ Drama. So, yeah, there was supposed to be a Gangsta Grillz, but that would have been a big look for Drama, too, because that mixtape was banging. So I didn't know what to expect, if it was going to be something on that lane or if it was going to be something on More Life where it was kind of all over the place with different vibes and cross the water sounds and shit. But I will say, when I listened to it, I noticed immediately, of course, When to Say When had already been out. Chicago Freestyle had already been out. Desires had already leaked. And Toosy Slide had already been out. So, and then War had already been out. So a strong 5-6 records had already been out. And when my first listened to it, I was underwhelmed, dude. It sounded a lot like Throwaways. And I don't know if he came out and said, yo, these are just some Lucy's, da 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 da, that now it's in my head that, oh, these are Throwaways, and I listened to them with that context. But they just come off that way to me on my first initial couple of listens. They didn't hit the same as a full-length project would, where I feel like him and 40 locked themselves in the studio and craft something up on a traditional basis. This one seemed more throwaways that wouldn't make the album but weren't bad enough to get scrapped totally. So let's just put this out, get these free clicks during this quarantine. Like, this is a little bit of a cheat code to drop something in the quarantine, but not your real shit, though. We're going to wait till, you know, the world open back up in a few weeks. It looks like it's about to open up slowly but surely. We'll wait then to give you some real shit, but this will be like an appetizer of some old shit that was going to get in the recycling bin. That was my initial thoughts when I first listened to it. It was cool, but it wasn't the Drake that I'm used to. When you first listened to it, what'd you think?
That's interesting. And I smiled as you were saying that, and this is where I appreciate not being a Drake stan, as you are, because my initial reaction was like, well, this is fire. I was thoroughly impressed by it, and as I was listening to it over the weekend, and I watched the Michael Jordan doc, to bring it up again, two things intertwined with what someone said there, and as I was listening to his album, it hit me about Drake, and I feel the same way about him that this guy said about Jordan, which was a certain point in time, Jordan started showing up to win the game. Everybody else was playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I came to win. And even with these being Lucy's, like some of them you've heard before, from the cover art, like Drake, Dark Lane, demo tape, how it looks, how it sounds, it being a, we're all stuck in the house in quarantine right now. I think that he absolutely bodied all of this. Mm-hmm. Like, Drake is enjoying being a rapper way more than his competition, is what I got from my initial thought. Like, it's niggas that can rap with him, yes. But the reason that he's Drake is because he look like he's having the most fun doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't have to, like, grow my hair out and wear the same clothes like J. Cole. I ain't got to take y'all niggas to Africa and shit like Kendrick Lamar, my nigga. I'm going to be a rapper. Like, that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to be in his IG comments. I'm going to have a baby with a porn star. Like, I'm going to enjoy myself as a rapper, put out these Lucy's, like, why ain't nobody talking about nothing, and everybody's going to gravitate to it, and I'm going to eat that shit up. I think that he is thoroughly enjoying his career more so than anybody else in the game, and that's how it comes off when I was listening to this album. Like, this nigga is, like, bodying this. Like, all of the songs, like, the stuff, how he put it together, like, he's, like, really in his bag for these to be, like you said, throwaways. And I'm not even really talking about the quality of the songs. It's like what you said, these are throwaways, but I was thoroughly entertained with just the concept and him putting it out and showing up like we requested during this time that someone would.
Yeah, it was funny. I've seen a lot of people online, a lot of comments. Shout out to Weezy. Shout out to my guy Mike Jones. They were all like, hey, yo, like, I'm fucking with this. Like a lot of people were rocking with it, and I'm listening to it like it's cool. Like, it's,
you like he's been doing this, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not. I just think he's done it better. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this, though. The more I did listen to it, because I really didn't get to this like I wanted to until probably about Sunday. Like I really wanted to about Sunday. And the more I started to listen to it, though, it did begin to grow on me. I find myself humming or singing particular lines that get caught in my head. I'm outside of the AMG.
Chicago freestyle back like 50 times.
That shit is nuts. That Chicago freestyle is nuts. Man. And you know what I'm saying? I find myself like singing some of those cadences, like the deep pockets joints. I started finding myself doing that. I'm like, oh, okay, so it's starting to grow on me a little more. But I just think that if we're grading on a Drake curve, I feel like this is lower on his type. They sound like throwaway Drake songs. In an instance where he's at the point where his throwaway records sound a lot better than some people's like main projects right now. So that's just kind of where he's at. I remember Jordan, when he went to the Wizards, nigga was like, man, he cooked. Nigga averaged like 23, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was still getting buckets, but he just wasn't doing them at the level in which he was doing them before. So this is still a bucket. It's still a W, but it's just, in my opinion, it's just not to the level of where he normally is. And I the knocks that I've heard on it is that they're tired of his subject matter. And they're tired of him, and there's no quote-unquote like growth in his music. Which gets on my fucking nerves when I hear people say that, but go ahead.
I was going to say, tired of him saying that he's winning?
Probably just tired of him winning and not saying that, but it's cool.
I could see someone saying they're tired of his subject matter, but I don't think that he makes it stale. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if we're going to get into like the highlights of the album and the subject matter, as I pull it up while we're talking, the songs that I enjoy weren't him visiting new topics. It was just him fucking enjoying that shit, like I said before. So, again, these are probably the ones that I've heard first, but hearing them in cohesion like this and put together on this project made them sound even better to me. That Win to Say Win, like, it's cheating. Essentially, to have a song cry beat, but he did what Drake does on there, same subject matter and all, body.
Right.
Chicago Freestyle on repeat. That motherfucker was banging.
Shout out to dude featured on that, man.
What's his name?
Album straight, though.
Is it?
I don't know how to say his name. Giveon or some shit?
Giveon.
I don't know.
He
an R&B dude. He kind of remind you of Sampha. Shout out to J-Hove. He put that in the chat, and I went and listened to it. And I was actually fucking with it. I was like, oh, yeah, this dude shit straight, man. Y'all play it on Sunday when y'all get lonely or whatever. Shit bang.
Just get up. Let's see. I like Desires, even though it's toxic as fuck. It's like probably the most toxic nigga said, I want to put you out where nobody can find you. Like, a nigga trying to move a bitch to Katy, Texas is some sick shit, man. Like, do you know where Katy, Texas is, bro? That shit ain't nothing. I really like Losses with the Dennis sample on there. That shit was fire to me. Just
with the who sample?
Dennis, his dad. Ain't that his dad?
Oh,
name?
Okay,
Dennis.
Okay.
Yeah, in the beginning of them. And I like War. I think that he talking his shit on War. He keeps finding new flows to say the same shit. I like the subject matter. And then again, like I say, it has a lot too with, I don't take in as much Drake. Like, I don't really revisit a lot of the projects, so I don't really get tired of his sound. I think that he's a very talented artist. And so when I hear this come out, especially now during quarantine, when we ain't getting really nothing but mid-pack anyway, this is some high-potent shit. I like it.
Man,
what stood out to you?
You just said something there. You said he's finding new flows to say the same thing. And I think that's what people are leaving out. Like, bro, let's be honest. If you're an artist and you 5, 6, 7 projects deep, bro, you're not, more than likely, 97% of artists aren't saying anything different than they've already said. It's their lane. Most people pick a lane and they stay in it. Now, if you're Jay-Z and you turn 50, then you can switch your lane up and go to your woke, conscious 444 shit. That's cool. That's one thing. But most people haven't hit that level yet. So they're still going to be in their regular, degular, everyday bag, bro. So, like, when people say he hasn't grown, like, bro, like, Mozzie just dropped this weekend. This is like his sixth project in 2 years. What growth is in from this one to the first one? And don't get me wrong, I'm fucking with it heavy. But where's the growth, funny, my nigga? Anybody?
That's really funny because I seen a tweet and it said they were talking about Mozzie's album and it said, man, Mozzie, I had a picture of a lady, said Mozzie auntie just somewhere trying to get high. This nigga keep bringing her name up in every song. And the comments was hilarious. Like, yeah, somebody was like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Just let her smoke, my nigga.
But that's what I'm saying.
But it's funny you made me think of that when you said that.
But you build an identity with your content, and then now I know what I need to go to Mozzie for, and I have an expectation for that. Like, Drake is in the prime of his career. We're playing the Madden season in our Realville franchise. Patrick Mahomes is a 99, bro. How much fucking growth can Patrick Mahomes do, my nigga? What do you want him to do, fam? You're a 99. What growth do y'all want Drake to do right through this gap? He's in his prime. I don't get it. It probably means you just weren't a fan of what it is he was talking about to begin with. And so it got older quicker to you. Like that, just say that though. Like, oh, there's no growth in his music. What? Shut up. What are you talking about? I saw that all weekend. Like, shut up. Who do you listen to? And please tell me their growth. You still listening to Jeezy? It's like, shut up. Stop. TM108? The fuck out of here.
I haven't seen that. Where'd you see that at? On Twitter or somewhere?
Like, I saw it on Twitter and just a couple of, like, some Facebook shit. But, like, stop. Like, I feel like, and Drake said this too, man, people love it more when you're trying to get somewhere than when you've made it. Because it's so much easier to dismiss someone after they've gone on a winning streak that's too long for your taste. And that's what I feel like he's going through. So either A, you weren't a fan to begin with, which is fine, or B, you're just tired of him winning and you want your favorite underground rapper to start winning more. That's fine too, but just say that though. Just don't try to mask that in, oh well, his growth musically. Fuck out of here.
People hate to see you win for a long time, man. Like, no, that's all it is. And I mean, I appreciate his talent.
But if we're going with joints that I fucked with, I thought the intro was dope. What sample is that? I think that's Biggie. I hope I don't fuck that up. But with the Brooklyn sample, I thought that was dope. And we rolling. Like, the way he switches his flows up and stuff, man, and his cadences and all of that, like, it's super dope. I actually really liked, believe it or not, I liked the song with Young Thug and Future, the D4L joint. Like, I can hear that in the lounge. I can hear that walking into a sneaker boutique down here in Atlanta that's going to blast. This shit going to sound good. It's going to make me want to buy, like, 5 pairs of shoes. And then I also liked, I really like War. And I don't know, I'm not a fan of, like, UK rap. And so maybe Drake doing an Americanized version of it works for me because I can't listen to the actual authentic real thing. But right. I can do his version though for some reason. Like that's banging to me. And I'm not sure why. And I know it came out earlier this year, but I don't wear the Lucy's out when they come out because I always figure that they're gonna pop up somewhere. So I'll listen to them when they come out on a project. And that's what I did with that. I was really fucking with that though, strangely enough. What joints are here or what didn't work for you on the project at all?
I didn't like the Young Thug song with Future. I didn't like D4L. I really didn't like that. And I didn't like the song with Chris Brown. I know we were just talking about how hard it is to make a song with Chris Brown. Well, I wouldn't say that it wasn't banging. I just didn't like it.
He barely owned it. He like doing some background vocals.
Yeah, it was like he sounded like he still tried to get Chris Brown out of there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then compare this with the Chris Brown and him record that they had last year, dude.
Yeah, the smash.
That's a fucking smash. Like, what was this?
You got it. That was at one.
Yeah, that was
still
bad.
Play that today.
Yeah. This is like an interlude, bro. This is like, Amy.
Yeah, I was disappointed in this. I mean, you say featuring Chris Brown. Like, I need Chris Brown on the record.
Dude. Yeah.
I put Chris Brown on that motherfucker. Don't play with it. Pause. But, Tushy Slide, I mean, that is what it is.
Actually, don't mind that song right there, believe it or not.
I ain't fucking with that, man. I get it. And like I say, that's what made me come to that conclusion. Like, Drake show up to win. Like, I'm the only nigga that can come up, do this Drake thing on this Tushy Dot dance TikTok shit, and I'm gonna go number one, and I'm still gonna be in my pocket for niggas that fuck with me. Like, it's hard to do unless you enjoy what you're doing.
Do you think he may have covered up that the kind of the excuse to put that record out as, oh, here go a mixtape of shit that wasn't gonna make the album, because that song didn't really do TikTok numbers like that, mm-hmm. believe it or not. I was sitting there thinking back, maybe it might have been like a cover up to just be like, oh, nigga, you tried it. You tried to do the TikTok song. It didn't take off like that. And so now you're trying to cover up that record by saying, oh, yeah, man, here's just some throwaways, man, just for y'all being patient waiting, man. I appreciate that. When Slick, this was really your album.
Maybe. It definitely maybe could have been a thing, though.
Slick.
Yeah, like you're saying, like maybe this would have been what he was working on, and it ain't hit like he thought it would hit, so he's back to the left.
Possibly. Mm. You never know. But people fuck with this, though. Like, maybe. I've been seeing mostly positive shit.
But I mean, but you, like you say, you're more of a fan of Drake than I am. So like, if we were talking about 2 Chainz, like I would go into an album expecting something different than I got here, though. So you would say the same thing about Drake, right?
That's
like, you got it's cool, but it ain't what you expect as an album being like a diehard fan.
Agreed. And with that, what I didn't necessarily rock with on here, I'm cool on the Desires joint.
You don't like it?
I'm cool on it. Like, it's not trash. Like,
it's
I'm
funny.
Just...
It's a funny song. Like,
yeah. It's cool, man. Like, I don't know what happened to that. What a Time to Be Alive, too. They gassed that. I don't know what happened.
Never coming out.
And then I saw a meme of Kobe Bryant and Kwame Brown, and they said, this is Drake and Playboi Carti. And that was the most accurate meme that I think I've ever seen in the history of social media.
That's funny.
Playboi Carti on Pain 1993 is fucking garbage, nigga. Like, dude.
Yes, he is.
I remember.
That's one of my lowlights, 100%.
I remember last year when Joe Budden came out and said that Logic was the worst rapper ever. And we talked about that on the show. And we said, if Logic isn't the worst rapper ever, who is? And I said Playboi Carti was. And you and MX was, no, I mean, he's not that bad. Why are you going hard on the young boy? You hear that shit? You hear him almost try to single-handedly fuck up a solid mixtape, dude?
He awful.
Nigga garbage, dog.
Yeah, I mean, I did. Is he beefing with Uzi? Is that real?
Man, I don't know. That's too young for me. I ain't gonna lie. Playboi Carti like 23, Uzi like 22. That's too young for me. I can't follow that.
Okay, so I didn't know if that was real or fake. It really didn't have anything to do with anything. But I don't know. I think what you just said, it being too young for me, I'm sure I don't get it.
Now he's trash, bro. And he
sounds
different,
I'm not
too.
Quick to do that. I ain't gonna call him trash, but it is something that I'm missing. I'm not picking up what he put down at all.
No, that shit garbage. And his voice has changed for some reason. I don't know what's up with that. But then lastly, the Demons with Favio Foreign. Like, it's okay. I actually like Favio Foreign, and I like his little project that he just put out, but it just that song didn't hit the same way I think it should have. And then the dude that they added on there, he wasn't really talking about nothing. So there's a couple of joints in her that didn't resonate with me. What would you give it overall as a rating?
I think it's good, worth streaming. 3.5.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with that too. I'm along the same lines. Like, it's growing on me more that I've listened to it. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to appreciate some of the melodies and stuff that's on here because they are catchy. But it's some stuff just doesn't land. The landing wasn't stuck like how it normally is for me. If I had to like put this in his rankings with his project, this is last. It's like off top.
Yeah, not at all.
No, this is last. And his discography is stellar, by the way. Let's be very clear about that. But this is in last place. This is worse than More Life. It ain't no question.
No way. Absolutely. Yeah.
More
not.
Life frying this.
No way. Maybe I ain't heard. I got to go back and listen to More Life while I'm playing this Madden tonight.
More Life got some fucking heat no on it. It's just too it long, man. It's got too many songs on it.
That war better than every song on No Life.
No, it's not. Facts. It's banging, but it's not. It's not though. Because if you listen to
he was ripping that.
Turn on More Life and listen to Teenage Fever or listen to Can't Have Everything, and you'll take that bet.
I don't believe that.
Oh, man,
I don't believe you.
I'm going 3.5. What any expectations into his album? You want more of this? What do you think he's gonna go with?
Like, I think he in his bag, man. I think that there shouldn't be too much speculation as to can Drake put out what he's gonna do with it. I think it's now so about, like I say, he shows up and he wins. In my opinion, he's still going for that classic album, like that consensus classic. Like people will say this one's a classic and that one's a classic, but he still ain't got a blueprint or a Reasonable Doubt or a Black Album whether it's consensus. Like, nigga, yeah, that's the Drake. That one right there. He ain't got that yet. So I think
he has it with the mixtape, but it's all
he does not. What are you talking about, the first one?
So Far Gone. Everybody, that's a classic.
Yeah, that's true. He ain't had one since he's been Drake. It's time for another one.
That's
his Reasonable Doubt. He need a blueprint now.
I was debating with somebody that you know who says that right now, today, Drake is the GOAT over Jay-Z.
Who's this idiot?
And I said, I can't agree with that because Jay-Z has 4 classics.
Okay.
And Drake has 1 in a possible. I'd say he has 2.
So are you saying that they're equally in all the categories except for classic albums? Or are you saying that's just one of the reasons?
I'd say that's just one of the reasons. I'd say, like, if you're comparing people that play and one that got 2 rings and one got 4, but their stats are equal everywhere else, like, it's kind of like, But his argument was if Drake would have came out when Jay was out, his numbers would have fried Jay-Z's numbers, which is true. Because if Hotline Bling comes out in 2000, bro, that album is going diamond. Whatever album that's on is going 10 times platinum. Like, his numbers will be through the roof. The fact that he came out during streaming is kind of throwing that off. But I think because he doesn't have, you know, 3-4 undeniable classic projects, that I can't say he's the GOAT over Jay-Z. And Drake, my boy, I can't do that.
And that is a hard argument to be made, from my opinion, because I say that Jay set a new precedent with 444, and even now, like, still being cool. If you can recall, like, when we were younger, back in our day,
okay,
like, it wasn't cool. Like, when niggas, like, we fucked, like, we knew LL Cool J was all right, but it wasn't, like, I wasn't really just going to get that Todd Smith album because he was old. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was done.
Head sprung. No.
He was done when we were, like, in our golden age of hip-hop. And I say that to say, like, Jay-Z has proven to, like, still be standing strong. I'm not sure how kids feel about him, but I'm sure they feel, like, more he's cooler than LL Cool J was to us. That's the comparison that I'm making. Yeah. So I would still hold back. I think that Drake's on a path to beat him, but we have to look up when Drake's 40 whatever years old, like, if he's still talking about these, or if he has a wife, or what he can do to keep us engaged. What makes Jay-Z the greatest to me is him still being able to do it. Like, Jay-Z still walks in the room and he's still, like, the alpha male. Like, it don't matter what rappers I'm putting in a room, like, Jay-Z is the number one rapper. And you can base that shit on, like, numbers. You can base that shit on flow, whatever it may be. But I think the consensus would be, unless it's Gucci, man, I think he's the outlier. Everyone would say, okay, yeah, he's number one in our business, if they being real about it. Like, you could be a competitor about it, but at the end of the day, a motherfucker look at Apple and say, yeah, well, I mean, we right there with them. Like, no, they're Apple. And y'all are a good, cool little business too. But I think that Drake has to do it a lot longer to be better than Jay, because Jay has proven that his most valuable asset is being able to be at the top for so long. Like, Jay ain't been number two. Like, when Jay's been rapping, like, he been that nigga. Like,
argue Drake's this 10-year run that he owned is nuts.
That's a fact. That's
beyond
true.
Nuts.
That is true. And I mean, you could argue that, but I say, if we're going back, Drake, Jay dropped Reasonable Doubt in 96. From that moment on, his, I would say, elk in the hip hop community. I ain't talking about like critically acclaimed. I'm talking about people that was listening. Like you and I both. Well, I wasn't on Reasonable Doubt when it came out, but just listening to the documentaries and the stories now, people like whispering, like, "You heard of Jay-Z? Oh, he might be all of this." And he's had that murmur of being one of the best since he was like very beginning. People didn't want to give Drake his props, like, "Oh, do the nigga sing this and that." Like, they didn't want to give him his props for a long time. I think now people are universally recognize him as like the number one person in the game. But that's been 12 years in. It didn't take people 12 years to realize that Jay-Z was the alpha male.
Yeah, that's fair. Y'all let us know, man, in Facebook on the rap chat. Is it too early to be talking GOAT discussions with Drake? I need answers to that. And let us know what y'all thought of the album as well. We've got some wins and some losses, man. Let's give a W to Young Thug's health, man. He actually revealed he was hospitalized with kidney and lung failure and says that he, quote-unquote, basically died.
Young Thug? Jesus.
Yeah, that's nuts. He has since fully recovered. Shout out to Young Thug and his health, man. That's rough.
Yeah, man, that is rough. I'm glad that he pulled through. I wish him nothing but the best. Like, I'm becoming more of a, people that listen to this, I'm becoming more and more of a fan of Young Thug, just his music and his antics, especially based off this back and forth with French Montana. I really appreciate Young Thug's side of it. So, I mean, I just fuck with Young Thug. So, hopefully he gets better, man.
Yeah,
basically,
man.
Died is wild.
Yeah, that's kidney and liver failure, and he young as fuck. I don't know what's up with that. W to Playboi Carti and Iggy Azalea. They welcomed a baby boy in the world. Did you even know that they were dating?
Damn, I read this, and I was like, damn, they a couple? Like, when did this happen? I had no idea that they even, like, I didn't know that. And you said that he's young? He like 23? Ain't she old?
She about 29.
I thought she was like 30 plus.
Nah. So look at play. It's a big week for Playboi Carti, man. Despite having like the worst feature verse in a long time, New Kid, he getting Australian headlines and publications and shit. Got a feature on a Big Boy project. Like, I know his Google search is going nuts right now. So I get to him, but God, he can't rap, man. Like they kid, man. If they ever try to rap. And
they're
gonna be like Silk the Shocker,
dude.
They're
gonna be some. That need to be like the last thing possible that they let him do. They need to get him into every tennis, golf. Nigga play music, write books, podcasts. Nigga do not rap.
Please don't rap.
Spare us, God.
Lastly, man, we got a W2 Rap Snack CEO James Lindsay for launching the Stock Boss Up app, which is designed to teach users about stocks and investments, man. Shout out to RapSnacks.
I love that, man. That's really dope for James to pull that off. Y'all, of course, know what RapSnacks is, and he adding on to the portfolio by teaching people how to trade. I think that's a very valuable asset as, you know, people try to become financially literate to help us put a little bit more money in the bank.
Man, the concept is super dope. That name is mm-hmm. flaw, though.
Yeah, that name ain't nothing.
Stock Boss Up?
What? Yeah, he should have had some more, a little better firm on the PR side to help him out with that.
It's not like,
but
he
I mean,
came
the name of the name of his main product is called Rap Snacks. I'm probably sure that didn't sound good off the showroom floor.
Yeah, that's true. And it's been around since 94. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Interesting.
Shout out to Rap Snacks, man. Shout out to stocks, too. I just got into stocks this year, man. This shit kind of fun, man.
Yeah, it is. Very, very much so. Especially when you kind of get an idea of what you're doing.
And, yeah, exactly.
And knowing I'm not expecting to get rich off of it.
And that's what this app is designed to do. It's designed to let you learn the stock market without using your real money, but it works in real time and all that type of shit, man. So that's super dope, man. Stock Boss Up is the app. And also, if y'all ever run into any stocks that niggas need to be aware of, DM me immediately.
Man, yes. Please get in touch with me on all social sites and let me know what I need to be investing in.
Absolutely,
100%.
Man. On Decker of the Week, we're going to Patreon. Shout out to Sean Wash. We got to give him On Decker of the Week. He commented on basically every album review that we have listed on Patreon.
That's dope.
Shout out to Sean Wash, true supporter, supporting the real. Shout out to all our Patreon subscribers. We got a new DaBaby review that is up right now as we speak. Y'all make sure to check that out. New reviews every week. Sean Walsh, good looking, my guy.
Shout out my guy, Sean Walsh, the bandit in the beret, holding it down out there.
Absolutely, man. What you got to put me on?
Man, two things. One, doing the online franchises with your friends, that's really dope. Doing the trades and getting ready for the seasons and playing the Madden and 2K.
Yep.
So if you have a PlayStation or whatever it may be, play a franchise with your friends. That's dope. That's a cool put on. Yep. Also, Southwest T, famously from BMF, Big Meech's brother, was released from prison today. So we're putting for the COVID-19, he was set to be released in 2026.
Wow.
He had some good ass lawyers working on his case, and he's set to be freed due to scares. He is on home isolation. So I don't know what's up with Meech, if he's going to be next. But shout out to Southwest T, man. Y'all go check out that story about the BMF Mafia if you don't know it.
That nigga had Johnny Cochran on his case, man. Rest in peace. Yeah, God damn.
Matlock on that motherfucker. 26.
Shit. Yeah, that's dope, man. Shout out to that. What you got to put us on? We're going to Netflix. I know you watched the Explain series on Netflix.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's super dope. It's a series of different topics explained, quote unquote. The episodes are usually 20 minutes max. There is one on there called Coronavirus Explained. It is a must watch to get a legitimate, 100% accurate feel of what the coronavirus is and what it means and what's going on with the COVID-19. It was a dope breakdown, super informative. If you kind of feel like, man, the news is telling you one thing and this is telling you one thing, this explains why things are going on the way they are. So please check that out. Very informative. It's called Coronavirus Explained. The whole Explained series on Netflix is fire. I highly suggest Billionaires Explained. That was super dope. And Stock Market Explained. That was dope too.
I need to watch that Stock Market Explained. I ain't watched that one yet. Yeah, that's fire. I've been on my super TV watching mode, watching The Wire again, of course. Friday Night Lights is good than a motherfucker. The series,
I never watched the series. I've only seen the movie.
Fam, do yourself a favor. Like, it's on Hulu. Like, I forgot how good the series was. I'm like 15 episodes in on season one. It's just fire. So
finish the Saw, man. Quit bullshitting, watching this old shit.
Oh yeah, I only watch that on the weekends, man. I've been watching that. I've already seen the Friday Night Lights, so I kind of watch it in the background on the day. I ain't really got to pay that much attention. I am on season 5, episode 2 of Better Call Saul, so I'm almost caught up.
Most definitely, man. Hey, along with those stock tips, let me know if I need to be watching something too, y'all.
Yeah, let me know about good Netflix shows. Billion started. That first episode was kind of lackluster, but it's a build up. You know, we're going to get there.
Absolutely, man. Keep your eyes peeled to socials, man. We're going to try to get out here a little more and get some content for you guys. And always, thank you for supporting The Real on Patreon and subscribing on iTunes as well.
Yeah, we appreciate you. We out.
Holla.